Good afternoon, Your Honor. Heidi Feinman for the U.S. Trustee.
Mr. Rose.
Good afternoon, Your Honor. Alan Rose for Ted S. Bernstein as successor trustee of the Simon L. Bernstein amended and restated trust.
Let's see, Ingrid Garcia.
Good afternoon, Your Honor. Ingrid Garcia, I'm here for Daniel, Jacob, and Josh Bernstein.
Thank you. Brad Schraberg.
Good afternoon, Your Honor. Brad Schraberg on behalf of secured creditor Patricia Song.
David Brown.
Good afternoon, Your Honor. David Marshall Brown appearing as an officer of the court.
That's an interesting introduction in this case. Candace Bernstein.
Hello, yes, Your Honor. Candace Bernstein.
Elliot Bernstein.
Yes, Your Honor. Hi, I'm here appearing as an interested person and newly appointed manager of BFR.
Okay, Daniel Bernstein.
Good afternoon, Your Honor. Daniel Bernstein.
Jacob Bernstein.
Hello, Your Honor. Yes, I'm here.
Joshua Bernstein.
Hello, Your Honor. I'm here.
Luisa Esposito. See, I have Cynthia Mifsud. Glory Hellman.
Yes, Your Honor. Yes.
Oh, good. That was Cynthia Mifsud. Good morning or afternoon. Gloria Hellman. Robert Sarhan. Is there anybody else who'd like to appear in the Bernstein Family Realty LLC case? All right. Ms. Feinman, I have your motion to dismiss. And then there's a joinder which asks for, I believe that's Mr. Schraberg's client or clients, asks instead that the case be converted. Ms. Feinman.
Yes, Your Honor. Good afternoon. It is the U.S. trustee's emergency motion to dismiss or convert this case to Chapter 7. So there is an option for either avenue. Your Honor, I filed this on June 4th. The court set the notice of hearing, I think, was docketed on Monday, and we, the U.S. trustee, did send by overnight mail and regular mail to the Bernsteins and the debtor the notice of hearing and the motion. So I do know that it's been received. Your Honor, as you recall, this is an involuntary Chapter 11 case that was filed on April 19, 2022. The court entered the order granting the involuntary relief on May 23rd, 2022. It's the U.S. trustee's understanding that, amongst other assets, the debtor does own real property located at 2753 Northwest 34th Street in Boca Raton.
Hold on a moment. If you are not speaking, could you please put yourself on mute? Because I'm hearing some background noise.
Hello.
Thank you very much, everyone.
Are you in there?
Ms. Feinman.
Thank you.
Oh, so you're not
Your Honor, you set a status conference on the involuntary petition for May 25th.
Especially in light of the fact that this is a debtor that is an entity that did not have counsel.
And at that status conference, the Bernsteins did appear with Ms. Garcia, who is the individual Bernstein, I believe, children's counsel. And at that time, you indicated that the debtor did need to get representation, and you continued the matter to June 1st, which was last week, to give the debtor time to find additional counsel. At that hearing, Mr. Brown appeared as proposed counsel for the debtor and asked for certain extensions of time. One of the things, again, at that hearing that you raised and that the U.S. trustee was concerned about was that there was no matrix, a creditor matrix, and that was, in essence, having a secret bankruptcy case because no creditors or parties in interest had knowledge other than Mr. Rose and Mr. Schraberg on behalf of their clients. I also raised the fact that we had begun hurricane season and we needed proof of insurance because there was real property. That's where we left it last week. I believe Mr. Brown had asked for an extension of time to file the schedules, but the court did enter an order granting that extension, but requiring a creditor matrix a Rule 2016 disclosure of compensation by proposed counsel and application to be employed. Those three things had to be filed by June 3rd. And that order further stated that the failure to comply with the terms of the order may result in a dismissal or conversion of the case without further notice or hearing. Separately, I did require, and I sent Mr. Brown an email asking for proof of insurance. Mr. Brown said the debtor had it, but then around 4 o'clock on June 3rd, I received a call from Mr. Brown saying he did not have the appropriate information to file with the court. So I waited until Saturday, the 4th, and I filed this emergency motion. Your Honor, as we sit here today, which is now the 8th, I still do not have proof of insurance. We did go through, as the court is well aware, a tropical storm on Friday with very heavy rain at times. Without insurance, I do not know if the house has been protected. I do not know if there's any damage. Again, we still have no matrix. Mr. Brown did not file a application to be employed. There's been no retainer agreement. There's been nothing. So as we sit here today, we still have an entity that is not represented by counsel. We have property that we know of, that the U.S. trustee knows of, which is real property, but I do not know what other property is out there. And I do not know who the creditors are. We cannot schedule a 341 meeting. We cannot move forward. Your Honor, this is a case in which there are, Mr. Schraberg represents creditors who I believe are judgment creditors. They are not protected as far as I can tell with respect to this property, and they have a right to be. And if this debtor is going to reorganize, it should have taken the steps that it needed to reorganize. So Your Honor, under the various sections of 1112B4, I've asked this court to dismiss or convert the case. Since Mr. Schraberg is a creditor that I know of, that is most potentially, his client is most potentially harmed, I would leave it to him to decide how he feels best protected, or his clients, and he has filed a joinder in the motion and asked the court to convert the case. I have no basis not to agree with him at this point. If there's property of this estate that can be marketed and sold to pay creditors, then that should happen, Your Honor. And so therefore, under 1112B4H, and 1112B4C, I would ask that this court convert the case to Chapter 7. The failure also to maintain insurance under 1112B4B, to me is indication of a gross mismanagement. And that is inappropriate for any debtor to be in this, in a Chapter 11. So again, Your Honor, I would agree with Mr. Schraberg if this is what he would like to do on behalf of his clients and convert the case. This case should be converted to Chapter 7. Thank you.
Mr. Schraberg.
Thank you, Your Honor. As Ms. Feinman stated, we join this motion for the reasons she stated, as well as the reasons we set forth in our joinder. We believe that it should be converted as opposed to dismissed. And it's primarily due to what we believe is litigation gamesmanship. This bankruptcy was filed as an involuntary by the three beneficiaries of the trust that own this company on the eve of a foreclosure sale. We have a final judgment of foreclosure. This debtor has not appealed it, though I believe Mr. Bernstein, Elliot Bernstein, has filed an appeal, but the actual debtor has not. The time to appeal has long since ran. And on the eve of a foreclosure, because they don't have the corporate authority to file a voluntary bankruptcy, they orchestrated an involuntary bankruptcy by three parties that we do not believe are creditors, they're equity holders or beneficial interest in an equity holder. It is for this reason that we need the independent trustee to come in, sell the property, and use those proceeds to pay the creditors of this estate. I know Mr. Rose's client is a creditor that would be in the second position. And if there is equity from a sale, then the beneficiaries of these trusts will receive a distribution. But the gamesmanship needs to end, and will request that this case be converted so a trustee can sell.
And before I go to Mr. Brown, anybody else wish to be heard on the motion and joinder? Mr. Rose? You're on mute, Mr. Rose.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good afternoon. I don't know how much detail you want or need about this, but I do want to make a few points. I am the person with the most historical knowledge because I've been in this case since 2014. Mr. Schreiber only got involved after the Chapter 11 involuntary proceeding was commenced, as well as Ms. Feinman. So stop me if I'm boring you. Stop me if you don't want the detail. If 2 weeks ago Mr. Schreiber made what we both acknowledged was a practical consideration of giving the debtor some time to get under its feet under it, and in the past 2 weeks nothing has happened that would compel anything other than a conversion to a Chapter 7. Ms. Feinman had said that, you know, amongst other assets, because she does not know whether or not there are other assets, but I believe I do from 8 years of being involved in this case. And this entity is a single purpose entity that owns one piece of property. It's a residence in Boca. The residence is occupied by the children of Simon Bernstein, Elliot, his wife, and three children, essentially rent-free for 8 years. Mr. Schreiber's client has the first mortgage. It's a purchase money mortgage that currently stands with a $353,000 final judgment that is no longer appealable. It was not appealed by the BFR entity. It was appealed by Mr. Elliot Bernstein, who's a tenant or an occupant of the property. He appealed, but the deadline to appeal has long since passed. So Mr. Schreiber's client is sitting there with a $350,000 first mortgage reduced to a judgment, accruing interest at 18% plus attorney's fees in state court. And the state court judgment includes his past, the taxes that were paid by his client for the past 6 or 7 of the past 8 years and all the interest that's accrued. My client holds a recorded second mortgage. We don't even show up in the creditor matrix in the creditor list that was submitted by the alleged debtor, or now the Chapter 7 debtor, or the Chapter 11 debtor. But we have a $365,000 mortgage on top of Mr. Schreiber's mortgage, and we would be entitled in state court to petition for the surplus if there were any, and we would be entitled in this court to litigate whether our mortgage is valid. I don't think we needed to debate today, but ours is of record. Mr. Bernstein would tell you that it's invalid. It was not intended to be a real mortgage, and that they've, you know, but that's not the purpose of what we are today. What we do have is we have a single asset, a house in suburban Boca Raton at the height of the boom. And I think we all know the boom someday will end. And if it hasn't already ended, it may end, you know, very soon. And we would like to get this property sold. I would prefer it. You know, we're not in state court where everything is in favor of the defendant and the debtor. We're in bankruptcy court now at their choice. And in bankruptcy court, the priority is on the creditors of the debtor. And I think the creditors of the debtor, including equity, are better served with a very swift sale through a 363 process commenced by a Chapter 7 trustee. It's a much preferable than a state court online auction. Now, we were, you know, less than 12 hours or 18 hours from a state court online auction when this case was commenced. But so that's my client's general position. I have a lot to say about the debtor's position. I have a lot to say about why this could never be a Chapter 11, including the fact that they have to petition a state court to allow for some of the $300,000 that is in the registry of the court for the benefit of three children, that's Daniel, Jacob, and Joshua, to use. And what they have proposed is something like $75,000 or 25% of it for the professionals to run through a Chapter 11 proceeding. And this is a little bit out. It's not in your record, Your Honor, but it's in my record. But the point being, you don't need $75,000 worth of professionals to sell a single family home in suburban Boca Raton And so I don't think there's any possibility that a Chapter 11 would work. I don't believe that dismissal is in the best interest of the creditors or even the equity, considering how far along we are in this court. And you could appoint a Chapter 7 trustee, and that would be the most beneficial part. I can talk about the property values. For years I thought our second mortgage was, you know, very underwater. It's come to life a bit with this surge, but we don't know how long the surge is going to last. I could talk about, if you have any questions about the way this property or this has been run for the past 8 years, I could be glad to tell you, but I don't think there's ever been insurance on the property. The taxes have been mostly paid, with the exception of last year, by Mr. Somm, and there's been never been, you know, anything other than Mr. Bernstein and his family staying in the house as long as possible until it gets foreclosed. There was some talk about, I don't know if you want me to talk about why the 11 wouldn't work. If we're beyond that,
no. Unless you feel that it's relevant to one of the standards that Ms. Fineman cited, I think she actually left out 1112B4E, which is failure to comply with an order of the court. Although that is raised in her motion,
I'll save any comment on why an 11 wouldn't work. But it's between a 7 or a dismissal. I think Mr. Schraberg's client, as the primary secured judgment creditor, should. His say should be the most important. And in the second position, regardless of the alleged validity or invalidity of the mortgage that's recorded, we would prefer a Chapter 7. I think that would be the fastest way to justice and the fastest way to protect whatever value is in this property for whomever's entitled to it. And I'd answer any questions or if there's anything that's said that I might need to respond to, but otherwise, thank you for your time.
Thank you. Mr. Brown, I'm going to start with a question for you. What is your role at this point? You did not file a disclosure of compensation, nor is there an application to retain you. And I noticed at the beginning you did not introduce yourself as proposed counsel to the debtor.
That was intentional, Your Honor. Everything is prepared. I have the matrix. I have the affidavit. I have the application. But what I didn't have was the actual retainer. So I called Ms. Fineman immediately once the deadline ran, as a courtesy, professional courtesy, because we go back decades.
Okay.
But
are you going to take a position on behalf of the debtor at this hearing?
I'm kind of in an ethical quandary. I would only say that in the interest of judicial economy, just turning this over to a 7 trustee who then turns it back over to the creditor, it's kind of a waste of time. I would just ask for a dismissal.
Anybody else like to be heard?
Yes, Your Honor.
Ms. Garcia.
Hi, Your Honor. Thank you. I don't know what to say, except I'm a little bit shocked at what's being represented to the court. And I'm so sorry, because I completely respect the court system and all the attorneys, and I'm fairly new to the case. But I can say this. Under 11 U.S.C. 305, I'm requesting the court to do what's in the best interest of the creditors and the debtors. Now, I did send the trustee, just prior to the hearing, a copy of the insurance that proves this property is insured. They did insure it timely, but it wasn't titled correctly. So I got the properly titled, correctly insurance today. So this property is not at risk. Number two, this joinder that was filed for Walter Somm and Patricia Somm was filed with a dead man. And at the last hearing, counsel represented that Walter Somm just passed away recently. I had the death certificate, and I provided it also to the trustee, that he died 18 months ago. The final judgment was done in the name of a dead man. I plan on going back to the state court to Judge Kastronakis, who I respect because he's my professor in law school. Got me my first job with the state attorney, Janet Reno. He's an incredible judge. He was misled into the court, and I want to go back to that court and correct his final judgment. But in the meanwhile, Judge, I'm asking you, don't convert it to a 7. There's many issues. There's an investment trust that funds this property. Mr. Rose knows, him and I have been going back and forth, that I'm trying to get $300,000 released to pay Mr. Marshall to defend his case if needed. So to me, I'm sorry, Judge, I'm very sad and very upset after 30 years of practicing law that these people come in here and tell you the best interest is a Chapter 7 when it's a dismissal without prejudice. Give us a chance to fix it and correct it. Give us a chance to get the money from the attorneys who are filing for dead people and who control money that are preventing us from paying this mortgage, and let our clients do this correctly. So please do not convert this to a Chapter 7 and hurt this client. This is their family home for years. These are three young teenagers who are trying to do the best they can. So I'm asking this court to please consider the best interests of the creditors and the debtors. They are not being hurt by going back to the state court. We can go right back to the state court. They didn't file a release of stay within days. They could have done that. They sat for 6 weeks themselves. They could have filed a motion for relief from stay and gone back to the state court themselves, but they didn't, because they want to take this property from these children. So I'm asking you, please, Your Honor, in the interest of justice, to dismiss it without prejudice. Let us go back to the state court. And if we need to come back to this court, we will, with counsel, and do it properly.
Ms. Feinman, would you like to respond to that?
Yes, Your Honor. First and foremost, I have no proof of insurance. Ms. Garcia never sent me any insurance. She did not send me insurance at her email at 1 o'clock this afternoon before the hearing. So as I sit here today, I have no insurance. But mostly, and more importantly, Your Honor, and you're right, I missed 1112B4E. It is in my motion. The debtor failed to comply with a court order. That in and of itself is enough for this court to do something. We have an entity that cannot be represented, that isn't, well, can be represented, but is not represented. And we have a situation where the largest creditor, which appears to be the largest creditor, Mr. Schraberg's client, would like the case to be converted. I see no other reason not to do that, Your Honor. Mr. Schraberg can speak to the fact that Mr. Slum has passed away, but I think those are legal issues that he can address if the court would like. But at this point, we are in a situation where we cannot let this case continue on the way it is. The debtor has had significant time and has done nothing. And so, Your Honor, if during the Chapter 7, the trustee and the debtor can reach some agreement to have a case dismissed, that can always happen. But this case cannot be considered in an 11 at this point. So I would continue with my request that the case be converted to a Chapter 7. Thank you.
Mr. Schraberg, at a recent hearing, you suggested that your two clients were joint owners of the claim, and when Mr. Sam died, the other person became the sole owner of the claim. Would you like to add anything to that on that particular issue?
That's what happened. They were tenancy by owners, excuse me, owners of this mortgage, tenancy by the entireties at the time of his death. Patricia Sam became the 100% owner of the mortgage. There isn't going to be an issue with regard to our judgment. That is a red herring. The best interest of the creditors test, there is nothing that Ms. Garcia said that can't be handled in this bankruptcy proceeding. What can't happen if this goes back to state court is a quick sale of this property at the height of this market when interest rates are rising and nobody knows what's going to happen tomorrow in the market. Bankruptcy offers the ability to sell the property.
Well, let me short circuit this. Ms. Garcia's entire argument is based on the best interest of the indirect equity owners of the debtor, which is not what Section 1112 talks about. And so you don't need to go any further with that. Ms. Garcia, were you representing the individuals who signed the involuntary petition at the time that it was filed?
No, Your Honor.
Seems like a very creative solution to file an involuntary petition under circumstances where an entity has no manager who could sign a voluntary petition. I wonder whether there was somebody who advised them on that particular issue.
Your Honor, all I can address on that issue is that in the underlying case, this entity is part of the final judgment as it exists, and nobody brought up to that court either. So I think Judge Kashanakis needs to be informed of what's really going on so he can void the final judgment ad initio for fraud on the court. Yeah.
Doesn't it seem like if your clients really wanted to continue litigating in the state court, they could have done that rather than commence this apparently ill-advised involuntary? Which now they'd like to withdraw.
I think it's in the best interest of everyone, including the creditors, to withdraw this, allow us to go back to state court. And the state court, once they've set the sale, they can set the sale. And then meanwhile, it gives me an opportunity to do the right thing as an attorney for the children who, this is their home for what, 20 plus years, this family. And there's a lot of issues, Your Honor. There's a lot of money that could have been used to pay. There's a trust fund that I need to seek accountings for to prove that there's millions of dollars that could have paid this judgment. So we're being held back by creditors who have access to funds, who are contesting access to funds for our clients to pay this. So it's kind of a situation that's very unique. And I just firmly believe this should be dismissed and allow us to go back to state court and to correct it there.
Let me start my ruling on something that isn't addressed in Section 1112, but it's fairly basic. When an involuntary petition is filed, that is a very significant act. It is a significant act when an entity such as this files a voluntary petition that exercises broad-based powers that are available only to a person or entity that is involved in a Title 11 proceeding. An involuntary is typically used in order to attempt to collect on a debt from an entity where the creditors generally would benefit from a bankruptcy proceeding. It is extremely unusual, and the code is set up in such a way that if you file one and it was a very bad idea, you can be held liable for that. This is not something that should be used lightly. And here it looks like it was used strategically. But that has nothing to do with the court's analysis today, nor Mr. Rose, and I don't mean to suggest any displeasure at all with your presentation, nor do a lot of the substantive issues that you reference have any impact on the court's decision. There is obviously cause under Section 1112B here. And there are at least three. I'm going to leave off the fourth one, Ms. Feinman, because that usually requires presentation of independent evidence. After a hearing at which deadlines were specifically discussed, I entered an order requiring that certain things be done by a particular date, and none of those things happened. There is therefore cause under Section 1112B4E because the debtor has failed to comply with an order of the court, an order which I note threatened conversion or dismissal without any further hearing. And I'm having this hearing because Ms. Feinman filed a motion and I thought it better to hear the arguments and more importantly see whether the debtor actually had counsel who had appeared with an application and had been paid a retainer, which counsel is entitled to. That didn't happen. In addition, the United States trustee has requested information that has not been received. This is not a surprise. That was discussed at the last hearing. That is also independent cause under 1112B4H. And finally, it is very important, and we are in the hurricane season, and apparently the debtor's sole asset is a piece of real estate with a building on it. When the U.S. trustee asked for proof of insurance and it's not tendered, that means that I am allowed to conclude that there isn't any that's adequate under the circumstances. That would also be cause under 1112B4C. I'm not going to address the gross mismanagement argument because, again, that would require usually separate evidence. Each of those findings by itself would be sufficient to cause the court to determine that the case should be dismissed or converted. The only argument made in favor of dismissal is that the debtor's indirect equity owners, who filed the voluntary petition ill-advisedly, apparently in order to avoid a foreclosure because the entity was unable to file a voluntary, that it would be in their interest for me to dismiss the case and let them go back to state court and do battle. No one else has weighed in on that side. The standard for the court is what's in the best interest of creditors in the estate. And I'm confident that the estate and creditors are best served by conversion of this case so that an independent trustee can ascertain what should happen with the underlying property. I will enter that order. And
Your Honor,
Ms. Feinman, would you like to hold on a moment?
Okay.
Would you like to tender it, or would you prefer that the court do its own order? Sometimes the U.S. trustee likes to tender the order.
happy to tender the order, Your Honor.
All right. Was that Mr. Elliot Bernstein, I believe, speaking?
That is, sir. First, just because I'm on a lot of medicine and I have a 250 over 150 blood pressure and I'm in need of a bypass that I'm holding off to help out with my kids who just elected me. But just a few matters. I just heard counsel for the boys say that she sent the trustee the proof of insurance. So unless an officer of the court is lying to you, we do have proof of insurance. It is named in the trustee the way they wanted it with the address, etc. So I'm not sure why she didn't get that email or why she's challenging that Ms. Garcia is a liar.
Mr. Bernstein, yes, Mr. Bernstein, apparently the attempt to do that was today.
It was done.
It's late.
It was done.
Okay. Mr. Bernstein, I've already ruled.
Okay. Can I also put on the record?
Yeah.
I also want to ask a question.
You get two sentences.
Yeah, just for appeal and whatnot. I just need to know, how did Walter Somm file a notice of hearing in this case when he's been dead for over a year and a half?
Mr. Bernstein, that had nothing to do with my ruling. Literally nothing.
No, I'm just asking.
Do you have anything else you'd like to ask?
Well, how did that dead man file a motion, and how
All right,
I respond?
That's enough. I've just muted Mr. Bernstein. All right, does anybody else wish to be heard? Okay, Ms. Feynman, if you could please tender the order.
I will. Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Thank you, Your Honor.
All right, the next matter I have is Magnolia Office Investments, LLC. Mr. Merrill.